Welcome back to a new episode of Sweet But Salty, the Bliss Point of Podcasts. Today is a very special day because I have a guest here, which happens once every year or so. And this time around, it's a very dear friend of mine and a follower of Sweet But Salty since day one.
The OG since the beginning.
Yes. Welcome, my friend from design school, Ricardo.
Hi, hello. Thank you for having me. I mean, I invited myself, but thank you. How are you doing?
I'm doing great because I'm actually on vacation, or not on vacation, but I have free time from work. So I'm very relaxed. I went to the hairdresser yesterday and I'm having a good time at home. How are you doing?
I'm good, thank you. I haven't been to the hairdresser. I should have been, but well, maybe for the next part. But yeah, great job. Yes, I remember you posted a story of a little trim. Yes, looking good, very voluminous. And by the way, happy 10th anniversary. I can't believe it.
Me neither.
10 years already, we've been in our 20s, and I've already entered my 30s. You will too later this year. And things happened. I remember quite vividly, at least for our first meeting, because we had our friend group quite early in the semester. So I think it was like love at first sight. We really bonded, and yeah, it was a perfect match right from the first day.
Yeah, I remember our first meeting too. It's like it's been 10 years ago, almost to the day. So we met at design school, as I mentioned before, and it was it's still a very small school, and our semester was tiny. We were 12 people, and I think that's one of the reasons why it was so easy for us to get along well, but I think it's not necessarily normal that you meet someone you click with on such a level and that you stay in touch and stay friends for such a long time. I think that's really, really cool. And that was also our luck, I think.
I agree. I think even during the semester, I knew we bond way better than I do with people I know from, you know, high school or even before. But with our friend group from design school, it's just like the first day, you know, the people we know or the people we bond the most, we still are in contact. And at least we manage to meet once a year, like all together. I mean, we can chill out more often over the year. The good thing is, and I'm really surprised 10 years later we can say that, because I haven't thought about that, or I didn't expect 10 years ago we all will find jobs.
True. So true.
Which is not necessary because of our skills, but maybe because of our graduation. But no, we really, all of our friends and us, we have jobs. We are in the field we wanted to work, and you are about to do your own thing.
Yeah.
It's going to be very exciting.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, it's crazy that we all ended up in design, which is not necessarily to be expected when you come from such a small school that is not super, super well known. And I think we all had our doubts in between, at least I did, like in the middle of the studies and maybe the fifth or sixth semester, I was so close to quitting. I was really, really close to quitting because I just thought it's getting me nowhere. I was a little bored. I was a little overwhelmed all at the same time.
And you started a second classes in a different university.
Exactly. I studied psychology also, and it was a little much.
Which is, I think, you know, a great balance in between. Because before I moved nearby, I had to travel like 3 hours a day just for classes. And sometimes we had classes for 30 minutes and that's it for the whole day. Like Monday morning for an hour. And then later we had to wait until 8 p.m. for the next classes.
Yeah.
And it's like, for that, we came. I feel that frustration, and I, for myself, I had the doubts and thinking of quitting myself too. I mean, the difference between us is you finished one semester earlier.
Yeah.
I did an extra semester. At that point, I thought, okay, well, I fucked. I have no idea what I did wrong. They won't explain it to me.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I went to a, you know, one by one talking with the teacher, and I don't know, I've even recorded it. Maybe, I think I still have the recording with my...
Oh.
And even then, when I re-listened, I still couldn't, like, tell myself, what is he talking to me? I don't know what he wants from me. I mean, we have some aesthetics. Every one of us has its own aesthetic, but I can see similarities in what things we like, in what kind of direction of design we like, and especially what we do not like. I think later I was able to better, you know, define this aesthetic and how to follow it. So gladly I graduated too.
Yeah, I think it's always hard when you're in the situation and you have to go through it and you know you have maybe, let's say, 2 years still to go until you graduate, and it feels like such a long time. But looking back, time flew by super fast, at least for me. And yeah, it's just good that we stuck to it and finished.
And one important thing about that was the money we put into it.
Yeah.
I remember, what was it? We paid like almost 400 euros a month. A month?
A month.
Yes. Not a semester, a month to stay in classes. And that's one motivation. I thought to myself, well, I've already paid 1.5 years. Now quitting is the dumbest thing I could do.
Yeah.
At least bring it to the end. And then, of course, there are so many anxieties. Will I get a job with it? What can I do with the graduation? And spoiler to any design student, try to find your foot inside of any environment you can work. Is it a printer? Is it a copy shop? I don't know. Just do it, because I think you and me, we both had pretty good grades for our graduation, but grades are not as important.
Yeah.
Your portfolio is important, and especially portfolio filled with real work. What you do in design school isn't that real. It's cool. It looks cool. It's like getting to know you and your abilities, but it doesn't tell a potential employer what can I expect from your skills and why should I choose you to work for me. So get to work as fast as you can, because what did Kim Kardashian say? Nowadays, nobody wants to get up their asses and work.
Which is true. Gen Z is coming.
I mean, same. I can relate. But sometimes, especially we are now after the Easter vacation period, and now we have some more work to do again because our customers coming back from their vacations.
Yeah.
And I like it more when we have a lot to do and we have a real schedule.
Yeah, I think that's true. I feel the same. Even though I don't like it when it's super stressful and you have 10 jobs that have to be done tomorrow, that's like too much. But there's a sweet spot, and the sweet spot is where you constantly get to work on something without a break, and you can just go from one project to the next and work on it consistently, and that's actually, it feels good.
Because still, it's something we like to do. It's something we create, and maybe it's not the best thing. Maybe the final product is the most boring thing you could ever create, but at least you can put yourself in it. So it's something motivating, and I quite like it to do, even though if it's just, you know, a popcorn bag, which is quite funny, but...
Yeah, but I think it's always cool to remember and to also imagine that there's actually real people who need your work and who are going to interact with it and who are going to use it for their brand and their company to make it look cool and feel cool to other people. And I think that's always a great motivation for me, because it's not just work that you do that gets put somewhere in the back closet. It's actually, well, sometimes it does, but that's very seldomly. Most of the time it's actually made for use and people actually need it, and that's that's super cool to like enrich somebody else's life with your work and your creativity.
It's like a construction worker.
Yeah.
It's, you know, a different business, but it's your work made with your hands, even though it starts on a computer or maybe on pen and paper. But later on, there is something you've created from nothing. So it's still a quite unexpected job. Mm-hmm. And I think really underrated, especially with things, you know, that's just a corner. We can talk about it, you know, AI and this kind of things, you know, will AI in the future take our jobs? And as for now, or at least for our generation, no. Because as for now, if I want to AI to work for me, it's always like, not always that satisfying, but I like if I can use it for my advantage, especially for the lamest thing to do, you know, when you have to, for example, I had to remove a car from a poster and I was like, oh, that's a whole brick wall. I don't want to recreate it. So I told the AI from Photoshop, remove it, and it did it. But because the car was in the background and in the front there was a lady, it also decided to completely change the lady's face because, I don't know, maybe she was too ugly. And I was like, no, don't do that. So AI isn't that much in the front that will work by itself, and it will always need a user to be used, so our jobs are safe.
Yeah.
But, you know, thinking of AI, I'm thinking of, you know, copying and copycats. And that's a great thing in the design school. Yeah. And you know what? I was thinking about it lately and I thought I wished I had the courage to copy more during school.
Mm-hmm.
For one thing, because we have seen it worked.
True.
It worked pretty good. Sometimes it didn't. So if you want to copy something, you don't want to copy it like completely.
Yeah.
Not change it up a little bit.
Yeah.
You know, copy the homework and change it so the teacher won't notice. But I wished I did it more just for the experience and for the good grades. Like that during my time at school, it could have been much easier.
Mm, true. It would have been easier, yeah. But I do think it's important to challenge your own creativity and to kind of challenge yourself to create something that hasn't been there before. I'm like torn on it because those copycats really got on my nerves, I have to say. And I was glad that I wasn't one of them and that we weren't part of that behavior, let's put it that way. But I do understand what you're saying. And nowadays, I go to Pinterest a lot, even during the job. And that's what they tell you. They tell you to look for moods before you start. And so you look for inspiration. And sometimes there are elements that really work well with your design. And then you can use them. But as you said, you don't just take what you find and do it one-to-one. You always change it up. And I think, yeah, just having that spark of inspiration from somebody else's work can really help you if you then use it and make something new from it. That's what I think.
Yes. Or be part of a running gag and you just do carpets. Which were the things that were like the most common things you would do at our school? Like carpets?
Yeah.
Scanning things and, you know, morph it somehow
while scanning? While scanning, yeah. The, I don't know the English word, but the Angleichen tool.
Oh, yes.
I don't know how it's called in English.
Yes, creating the random lines. I still like it, though. I like to do it, or at least I like the aesthetic if it's done good. But I remember we had one semester, everyone's doing it because we didn't know what to do.
But I think it was the first semester, so that's fine. We didn't have the experience, so we all tried what the teacher did, or the professor. Let's call him professor.
It sounds better, right?
Yeah.
But yeah, true. I remember first semester, it wasn't even design. When did I start actually designing? I think I was confident at the fifth semester.
Mm-hmm.
And we had 8 in total and then the exam semester. Yes, with the fifth semester, I felt confident and I thought, okay, I like what I'm doing. And I think I found my direction. And I remember I took inspiration like from the world, but that's what the teachers were telling us. I get inspiration from look outside, look at artists you love, look at museums. And of course, this is always a good base for inspiration, not necessary for copying.
But it works.
It works, yes. Yeah. Sometimes there can be really a period of time you're blocked and you can't bring anything to paper. And then there are other days you're inspired. It's always a different mood. I had a really strong time. I love to take photographs.
Mm-hmm.
But then I sometimes prefer to draw again. I don't draw as often lately. But I wanted to bring to work some papers. And then if I have some time, doing some doodling. Because I remember the best sketches I ever made at school was when I was bored during classes.
True.
Yeah, sometimes I find them because I kept all my notes.
Yeah, me too.
I gave them to younger semesters either.
Cool.
To help them out because you have taken notes of everything and still I felt like it didn't help, actually.
Yeah, I also took a lot of notes. I felt very much like in school. I didn't feel like I was at university or something. I felt kind of like I was taking tests at school for whatever reason. But my notes kind of, they really helped. And being in class and listening and actually taking it in, I think that was the most helpful thing. But a lot of topics that they talked about were kind of confusing, especially in the latest semesters where we had design systems and
officially they claimed it as art history or design history, I guess. So it will be taken from, you know, from
the council and like the officials.
And
yeah,
I mean, for some reason, when I tell people about those classes, I always get the question, what does it have to do with design? What is design and what is systems?
Yeah.
And I mean, in general, the topics were quite interesting, like in a maybe a rather political aspect.
Yeah.
But what do they have to do with design?
Well, I personally think it was a lot about the way you think and how the society we live in developed over the course of time.
Mm, I agree.
So maybe it was just about locating yourself as an individual in this strange world that we live in.
Yeah.
And learning about how certain structures were created in the past. So that's kind of what I think it has to do with us as human beings and with design. If you go a step further and think that you are supposed as a designer to create something new in a world that is sometimes very confusing and strange, and you kind of have to know your way around. And so I think it was maybe because they wanted us to know where everything comes from or like certain parts and certain ways of thinking so that we can make something new out of it.
I think it helped us thinking differently,
yeah,
not just in one direction,
mm-hmm.
because in a design process, you will always have like different ways of thinking and how to figure something out. And especially for if you're working with text, not only how is the typo written, not only what is it saying, but how do you want to look like? It has to look in a certain way to showcase what it wants to say, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think it's very interesting that we talked about inspiration like a couple of minutes ago, because today we also wanted to talk about music as a way of getting inspiration and getting inspired.
Mm.
So maybe we could do that now.
Yes, I think music is an important part, especially for the design process.
Mm-hmm.
Because designing or creating is a mood, just like music.
Yeah.
And what you're creating depends on your current mood, on how you feel. And I've brought to you very, not random, but like as my current mind is really a little upside down, a little all over the place.
Mm-hmm.
So there's some very different moods, not only for designing, but also for free time or just doing something else. Yeah, should we start about that?
Yeah, let's start.
Should I start?
Yeah.
One thing I can foreshadow is I've only brought to you female artists.
Mm-hmm.
I not only, but almost exclusively listen to female artists. It doesn't have a particular reason, but sometimes I do not like male voices. So that's one point, but it depends. Like, if it's a male voice that is really deep, I really like that. Like, it's striking my ears. Before I start, I want to ask you, what was the last song you have listened?
It was a song by Kings of Leon, Pickup Truck.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I have like a special inspiration playlist where I put songs that are supposed to inspire my own music that I write. And it was one song from that playlist.
Sounds interesting. I will have to look it up. And I'm really excited of your artists. By the way, the last song I've listened to was by an artist from my hometown.
Mm-hmm.
In North Spain. He's kind of like, I don't want to say like an industry plant, but he is really like supported by our government, mm-hmm. which I think is really cool, especially yeah. from how he does his music and how he communicates his music. It's pretty cool. The artist is called Mondra. Because we're from North Spain, from Galicia, they have their own language. Mm-hmm. And it's a bit confusing. It's a little bit in between something in Portugal, something in Italy. It's a mishmash, so I cannot like 100% understand. And the song I've listened to is called Ruando, and I tried to look up what it means.
Mm-hmm.
I have no idea. But since you cannot find the lyrics, he's a very small artist. It's very like independent, but I think they are saying in the song Baila Ruando, like dance de Ruando.
Oh.
Or maybe it could be Vaya Ruando, which is like, oh wow, Ruando. So no idea. But it's a really like, it's a cool song. When I'm listening to it, I'm thinking about my identity. We kind of share both of it, like we're from two different identities, from different nations.
Yeah.
We are mixing German and a different country. And lately I'm really confused what is my identity.
Mm-hmm.
So this is something I'm struggling with, especially. Long story short, I'm starting with my first album. So the first album I've brought to you is by Ayumi Hamasaki, Next Level, which is not necessarily my most favorite album, but mm-hmm. it is one album I revisit lately, especially at the gym. Because, you know, aesthetically, you would think, okay, this is something, this is from 2009, so this is the time when electropop started.
Mm-hmm.
So you might think, okay, it's this really, like, high-end, really much energy. And yes, it is, but not only it, because it is a very experimental mixing with different and contrasting genres. Like, you have the electropop, you have something more soft, you have some real dramatic, like mm-hmm. a musical, and then later you're in more a harsh rock, and then later it goes into more sentimental. So it's a little all over the place, but it is well constructed. Like
mm-hmm.
in at a whole piece, it does make sense. Mm-hmm. And you know, for the cover, I mean, she's wearing gloves with nails on it. It's pure camp. I love it. Aesthetically, it looks great.
And, I agree.
I won't talk about every song, but we have 14 songs, 10 full-length songs, and the rest are interludes, mm-hmm. which is really helping guiding through the album. Mm-hmm. And I really like when artists are using interludes in between, especially if you need to think about what you've just listened, and then it guides you to the next. So the first track is actually the intro into the album, called Bridge to the Sky. It is very summery, and it fits really good into the second song, which is the title track of the album, Next Level. I will have to say, this album was released 1 year prior to her 10th anniversary of her career,
mm-hmm.
and to that anniversary, she announced that she has lost the ability to hear on her left ear.
Okay.
And that her hearing ability of her right ear continually decreases. So I think choosing Next Level as a title is not only, you know, it's the next level into her career, but also into how she's creating. And she was saying, like, she will, or she wants to still create music until she is not able to hear anymore.
Mm-hmm.
I think this is pretty, you know, strong.
But I think that's really, really really dramatic, actually.
It is quite... She is a dramatic artist, but...
Yeah. But her story, I mean, the fact that she is almost deaf, at least on one side, that's, like, insane as a singer, I mean.
Yeah, I cannot imagine. I cannot imagine. It's crazy. And she even has a song, but it's not from this record, it's from a different. It is called Last Links.
Mm-hmm.
And it starts with a really beautiful guitar intro. Mm-hmm. But the left side is blocked. You only hear it on the right.
Okay.
So you can project yourself into her head.
Mm-hmm.
It's interesting.
Mm-hmm.
And it's kind of cool. So we continue from a summery, more light sound into a different interlude. And then we have a whole section of more electropop. You know, it is when Lady Gaga started, but she wasn't that big yet. So I think it's just a general, you know, style that was popular. And it's quite really good for the gym. When I'm doing, you know, cardio, I really like to play just that album. That's why I revisit it so often. And it is fun. It is very colorful. For example, yes, one of the tracks called Sparkle. It is a it's a total queer anthem. And the music video, I made a note, was shot by Katsuyoshi Shimomura. He will return later. He's a photographer originally.
Mm-hmm.
The way he shots movies, or especially music videos, he does a lot, is really interesting and really like a whole different level. Like, he once shot a music video with her in Paris, and I think the budget was at least $1 million because he shot with a special camera. It was a, not a digital, it was an
analog.
An analog camera with a special Fuji film,
mm-hmm.
because he wanted a special gray tone into the color.
Mm-hmm.
Which is so interesting. And, you know, back then, they were able to do that. One of the next songs is called Green, which is also interesting, especially for a queer aspect. In the lyrics, I assume she's talking about she has some, or she had at some point, feelings for another woman. And the video was shot by the same person and actually tells a story about a Japanese spy in China,
mm-hmm.
which is a true story. And you can see the Japanese, she is a dance artist, and she's dancing with other women. After that, we have another interlude, which is interesting. They wrote Load of the Shugyo, but I think they meant road. They switched to L and R. Yes, but it's the official title. I think it's funny. You know, we're now switching, and this is so interesting to me. A whole different direction. We're now in a more heavy rock part. And as for creating myself, I really love contrasts. So we have one song, really cool. It's called Rural. And the lyrics is describing, I don't want to live for rule someone else made. I am my own rule. Something like that. So the message is really cool. It was actually a title track of the movie Dragon Ball Revolution. So it hit at least part of Hollywood. By the way, rest in peace Akira Toriyama. Yeah, he passed away. And yeah, in general, I like music with an oriental or a Asian influence, and especially the balance in how do you create it in between a more westernized style. It's really interesting. And after that, we switch to a more famous ballad section. Mm-hmm. So it's getting really slow. This is normally when I stop at the gym. So it's more a sentimental part. And the last track is called Curtain Call. Yeah. And this is how it ends.
Okay.
So this is the first I've brought to you. Do you want to tell me your first record?
Okay, so I haven't made such an extensive list or, like, preparations. I just thought about which records really mean something to me. And the first one, I could, like, literally list every single Tokyo Hotel record ever released. Until, no, not every single one, because they kind of became not so cool anymore at some point. But the first two Tokyo Hotel records were really, yeah, very dear to my heart. And I listened to them over and over again. And another band that really stuck with me for such a long time and that I have so incredibly mixed feelings about today is 30 Seconds to Mars. Yeah, it's the band of Jared Leto, basically. Today, it's only him and his brother, but they started out with four people back in the day, and then they kicked one person out, and then I think they were three people for, I don't know, 5 to 10 years, and then they kicked another person out, and now they're only two. So it's definitely a Leto show.
But two brothers again.
Yeah, two brothers.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Just like Tokyo Hotel.
True.
And
true.
I mean, luckily, Tokyo Hotel is still together with all of them.
Yeah.
But I think the twins are like the face of the
definitely.
Group, right?
Yeah. Mm. Yeah. And I think it's the same with 30 Seconds to Mars that Jared Leto is really the... He's not just the lead singer. It was just like so much about him. And one record of them that I still liked to this day is called This Is War. It's very epic. So I think it was actually produced by Flood, who is the same producer who produced U2. So it's very epic rock music back in the day when rock music was still in. So 2009, I think it was released. And to me personally, it's their best record, with songs like Closer to the Edge or Kings and Queens. It's like This Is War was also a single they released. I think it was about the struggle that Jared Leto in particular had with the music industry back in the day, because the band was sued for $30 million, I think, because of their contract, because they were supposed to release music and didn't, or didn't do enough, or whatever it was. And he then shot a documentary about it as well. So there's a documentary called Artifact. And why do I still know these things? I like, I'm such a fan still.
That's
not
great.
Not really, but it's like in my brain, and now that we're talking about it, it's like all coming out. So they shot a documentary and they released this album, which is very much about like this war language. Like This Is War, Search and Destroy was one track, but there is also one track called Alibi, which is very, very quiet and then bursts out at the end, and it's great. And I love the fact that we're talking about albums, so that we're actually talking about music albums and not just about songs, because I think these days people only listen to single tracks on Spotify, especially on Spotify.
Or TikTok.
Even like remixes on TikTok, not even the original songs.
Yeah.
And I think that albums are still so important, because you can really see the soul of the artist and you can really understand that there is a bigger concept at play. If they're good records, like, then there's really more behind every single song. And I really like that. And I think that's definitely the case with This Is War. And they also shot some really cool music videos, like the one for Hurricane or Kings and Queens, where they're riding their bikes through Los Angeles at night with so many different people. And I think they were all directed by Jared Leto himself. Because he's also a director, and I kind of liked him back then a lot because he was kind of this cool, mysterious person. And then I think when he received his first Oscar, his only Oscar, he just kind of went insane. I don't know. Like his ego became a lot bigger than it was before. So yeah, that's kind of the backstory, but I really like this record, and it's I totally recommend it.
Okay, I will check it out.
Yeah,
are they still active as a group?
Yeah, as two people, they still release music, and I think one of their newest songs is called Stuck.
Mm-hmm.
It's really cool. The music video is also very well made, because they always cast very unique people. Like, they all look very different, and they all have something special. And then they cut different scenes of those people together dancing and singing to the song. And
great.
That's my first recommendation.
Okay, great. I will check it out.
Cool.
Definitely. Which is funny that they have a song called Hurricane or Rock Song. We will come to that title later.
Oh.
And it could be, I don't know, it could be inspired, but I'm not sure. But first, we go to the next album. And I have to admit, I cheated a little. I put two albums. But it's basically, you know, one era.
Okay,
so,
yeah.
And they go hand in hand and they were released at the same day. So we're talking about Sweetener and Thank You Next by Ariana Grande, released from 2018. And I feel like it's a little bit of a cliche in pop music liking her, but, you know, I admitted to it. It's okay.
She's a great vocalist. I mean, you can't deny that.
Yes, and this, you know, one particular song of this record, you know, sold me. So we will talk about that. I have to say, I don't listen to all songs. However, I think Thank You Next is a good record you can listen to in a whole sitting. It's really nice. Sweetener is too really experimental and quite different in each genre. And some people might say a little messy. And I think I can agree, but it's not in a bad thing. But yes, I don't need every song of them. So with Sweetener, which is quite interesting, after her Manchester concert with the, you know, the bomb situation, she was really in a weird mood or in a weird situation. Her world was upside down, which explains why both covers are upside down.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, just aesthetically, I really like how soft they are, and they, you know, the look perfectly matches the sound. There are some, dare say, like generic radio songs, but not in a bad thing. So I will start with the song that sold to me that, yes, she has great vocals and she's a talent, which is God is a Woman from Sweetener. At the end of the song, of the final, it really ends quite dramatic with, you will think it's a whole gospel choir, but it's just her in 60 or 90 even different octaves she recorded herself.
What?
And because I found on YouTube someone that put every voice separately, and you see, I thought these were complete different people, but it's just her. It's crazy, like she created a whole choir for that song. It's great, and for the music video, it's so aesthetic. You know, the title is God is a Woman, which is for Christians maybe a little difficult. And this was highly critiqued, but she didn't only like use the aesthetic of Christianity. It's, of course, a lot of Greek or Roman gods or goddesses. And, you know, just how they recorded it. It's really good. It is great made. I like many puns. You know, there's one scene, you can see vaguely it's the Tower of Bilbao guiding to her belly being pregnant. Like everything is woman made and everything is nature, and you know, the purest thing is fertility of a woman. And I think as a message, the world without female doesn't work. And I think, yes, I hardly agree. I am definitely a feminist, no doubt, even with or without Ariana. But, you know, actually, the song especially is more about, you know, two people coming together. Like in her case, a woman and a man, and when they're getting private together. And she is that fascinating that he will say, oh, wow, she's like a goddess. So this is the whole message of the song. I think it's really interesting. And now I praised it for like 10 minutes already, so we'll continue to the next one, which is actually the title track, Sweetener. It is an interesting track because you think, okay, it's a little bit more mid-tempo. She just gave you the best pop song in history. So we were like, okay, we're chilling out. It's quite of, okay, maybe it's like a ballad, I don't know. And then it switches from, and then you get it, hit it. It's something like, okay, wow, what's going on? I didn't expect to dance, but okay, I guess I'm dancing now. It's, I really like them. And speaking of contrasts, after that there's a song called Successful, and this is so unhinged. I like when an artist dares to be unserious. Because it's like, don't take that song too seriously. It's a fun pop song. Maybe she was drunk at the record studio. It happened before. So, you know, I don't know. It's like a challenge of how many yeah, how many she, how many like this can she put into one track? It's so fun. And then there's kind of a bridge where she goes, doesn't make you chill, doesn't make you feel cold. This is so, what's going on? I like that. But yes, after a fun break, we hit by reality again, and it's getting more dramatic. Yes, just to mention, like, one track every time, really relatable. It feels like, you know, there's one person in your life, and even if it's a person you love or you adore, or maybe someone, it could be a friend, you know. And the lyrics goes like, why or why does God keep bringing me back to you? You think, or you're still hoping that you will get affection by one person, or that you will get along with someone, but it doesn't work. And I think it's quite interesting that we're in a quite religious aspect again of, she's asking the, you know, the highest thing she could even ask, like, oh God, please, why? It's like, It feels very hurtful. And I think, yes, it's very, very relatable. I think we all went to that kind of thing. And yeah, when you're feeling down, and it's quite the right song. Breathe In, it's a cute song because I've read that she wrote it when she had panic attacks after the Manchester thing.
Mm-hmm.
And just thinking herself, just keep breathing like that. And yes, I get it. The song is cheesy still. And then, of course, No Tears Left to Cry. I think this is one song, it always stuck in my head.
Mm-hmm.
It's really like when it's played on the radio, and it stuck in my head for the whole day. And it's really good. Have you seen the music video?
No.
It's quite interesting. There's the they bring the whole concept of her world is turning around into the motion, and it really helps the aesthetic. It's from her makeup, from hair and stylists, everything is like a pure aesthetic. It's really inspiring. It's interesting. I think why I like female artists is I feel more inspired by them, because this is a whole concept of how they look, how they present their records. And I think it's the same with Tokyo Hotel quite. They, early on, knew how they communicate themselves. And I think that's quite interesting for them, even though it didn't follow them. No, not really. And by the way, did Tom, did he produce Heidi Klum's new song?
I don't know.
But since they're together, she sings quite a lot.
Yeah, I know. I noticed. I don't know if it's the best idea, but...
Well, you know, continuing, I'm trying to make it a little faster. We're now changing to Thank You Next, and it's more like, you know, after Sweetener, we were confused, and now we're trying to moving on, and it feels a little bit more, especially with her music, she tried to be more involved in the production itself, and with her later records she took overhead of the whole production, which for my personal taste isn't always the greatest, but I like when as an artist you can express what you like. And yeah, songs I really can recommend are Fake Smile, really interesting production. What she does a lot is, it's not really sampling, but she's like quoting audios. For example, in My Head. In My Head is a great song. It's a typical, or you're feeling down and you want to listen to sad girl music. So I highly recommend. And it starts with, I think it's a phone call. I think it's from a movie or something. I don't know. Some male voice is starting, kind of insulting me, because he's telling me, the listener, you know, you're stuck in your head, you're creating scenarios that aren't true, And I can really relate because I'm a person that is in my head too much,
mm-hmm.
especially with creating too. But especially in between other persons, it's like I'm creating whole fake stories of myself, or why doesn't this person like me, or why is he or she annoyed, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And then the scenes I'm creating in my head, I believe, so I'm like, well, fuck, nobody likes me. And then, you know, the song, I like the atmosphere because it feels like disappointment, but not only disappointment in other people, but disappointment in yourself.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, oh, well, I've trusted one person for so long and people were warning me. There's in the lyrics, she wrote, they see demon and I see angel, an angel with a wingless angel with no halo. Like, you try to see the best, the purest in one person, even though people warned you.
Mm.
And I think, yeah, I can really relate to that. And then when you come to the realization, okay, this one person isn't how you expected. Yeah, it's quite interesting. Well, but after being sad, you spend some money. And that's how we come to Seven Rings, which is another kind of stupid song. But I like stupid songs, and they help to cheer you up. It's a little bit of a satire, but a little bit of, you know, materialistic consumption. This is from, where's the famous lines from, you like my hair? Gee, thanks, just bought it. And I think, you know, all the lyrics are so stupid, but still smart, and I like smart written lyrics.
Mm-hmm.
And this is what I'm especially missing in music nowadays, is lyrics isn't that important anymore. Not for everyone.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the language itself is the first language to relate. So, yes, this is what I'm missing lately. But other than that, I'm listening to Japanese music, so I don't understand necessarily anything. Okay, then just the last mention is the title track Thank You Next, which is fun. I highly recommend the music video. It takes inspiration from famous 2000 movies, Mean Girls, and others I haven't watched. Yes, and that's my second record.
So I will continue with my second one. And I think it's so interesting that you picked out female artists and I picked out male artists.
Oh, that's cool.
Because I don't know why, but I like that contrast. Lately, even though I like, for example, Lady Gaga, and especially Born This Way by Lady Gaga, which I would recommend to everyone. If you like this type of new era pop music that came out in 2009 or 10, I think. I picked out somebody completely different, and his name is NF. So he goes by NF. His actual real name is Nate Feuerstein. And he's an American rapper, and the album is called Perception. So it's very, very dark, as you can tell from the cover itself, where he is depicted in a cage.
Mm.
And his way of rapping, and that's so interesting because you said you miss good lyrics. I think this album literally has outstanding lyrics. I mean, rap is so much about flow and it's so much about lyrics. And he raps extremely clean,
mm-hmm.
but very deep. And it's more like literally diving into his personal mind and mindset, and there are so many great songs, and a lot of them actually have hundreds of millions of streams on Spotify. One of them is Let You Down, which is very popular, I think, and the other one is If You Want Love. I think those are the two that are the most well known. My personal favorite song off this record is called Dreams, where he just basically talks about the fact that he built everything he has from scratch and for himself, and he had to go through hardship and continues to go through hardship, and he just goes for his dreams and for his goals. And yeah, I just think it's a very different way of rap. It's very, very original, very special. A lot of people actually compare him to Eminem.
Like everyone does in rap, right?
Yeah, sort of. I mean, you just have to be white and from, I don't know, North America, mm-hmm. and you're automatically like Eminem. But he's very good. Yeah, I totally recommend that. And he also sings very well. You can tell in this record that he does. And I think it's very interesting because this record is from 2017. And his latest one, which came out, I think, end of last year, is called Hope. Mm-hmm. And he wears only white in the new era, so to say. And before that, it was very dark and only black. And yeah, and I just think it's so cool that he evolves as an artist, but stays true to himself. And I think that's so hard to do.
Mm-hmm. Do you think with Hope and being all white, is it like an irony? Or do you think he involved in a thing that he went from a more destructive way or mindset and now he actually finds some hope?
I haven't listened to Hope entirely, so I don't actually know, but I do think it's a lot more positive, and I think he's very serious about what he says and how he says it. Yeah, there's always a dark twist in what he does, but I do think it just shows that he's on the way to kind of feel better about himself.
Mm.
Yeah, so I do think that's honest and very authentic.
It's interesting. I definitely will check your recommendations.
Cool.
My third and my last record I've brought to you is called Hold the Girl by Rina Sawayama. She's originated Japanese, but she was raised in the UK.
Mm-hmm.
And she works there as an independent artist, which I really started liking in 2020 with her debut album. This is, though, her second full-length album, Hold the Girl. It was released in 2022, and I've seen her touring last year in February.
Oh, cool.
I went to her show in Berlin, and it was a proof that she is a true artist who can sing.
Mm-hmm.
And as an independent artist, she is really experimental. I think she knows her barriers, but she wants to break through them. And she has the same struggles with identities as I can relate to. Like, she is in between two different nations and completely contrasting mindsets. And she's really struggling with that. And not only that, she's also a pan person. So she is really into the LGBTQ plus community. And this particular record, it has like kind of an awakening with identity and also with religion. Especially she talks about her traumas caused by religion, but also how she evolving through therapy. Yes. How she's evolving through therapy. And this is kind of the therapy record. So it may not cure my own traumas, but at least it helped a little.
Mm-hmm.
And with Hold the Girl, it means that you have your inner child and you want to hold it, you want to keep it, and you want to release the trauma it lived through adulthood. And it can be in any way. It doesn't have to be, you know, an abusive home or being bullied or being different. But I think we all can kind of relate, and especially if you struggle with your own identity a little bit. For example, there are tracks like, which is a more upbeat track called This Hell, which is about, okay, well, the right conservatives, they want to see us in hell, so we celebrate it. So we kind of take over this concept and say, well, we're going to hell, that's fine. And we love it in that kind of way. But also, she's still very inclusive. Like, she isn't saying that all religion is bad in general, or it should be, and nothing like that. And as for me, I grew up Catholic and I have beliefs, but as for me, I discovered, especially after listening to that record, I thought, okay, I cannot relate to church, you know, as a community. I have my beliefs and I want to believe, but for me, and not to be liked by someone else or be part of a community I don't feel welcomed. And this really helps, especially with the later tracks. There's one called Holy Till You Let Me Go, and it really tells about how she felt the trauma in religion. You know, she grew up in a school that was, you know, led by the church. Somewhere in the UK, I think she grew up in London. Can imagine there might be some conservatives. The track after is Your Age, and she's talking about one of her teachers groomed her, and until therapy, she never realized. Like, she knew there was a base of the trauma, but she couldn't tell, or she wasn't able, or she didn't want to, until, you know, in therapy, they were talking about it, and then she realized, oh yeah, I was groomed. And she now reached the age of her teacher, and she's asking, now that I'm your age, why did you do this? Something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And this is something like, why I cannot identify myself. Them are talking about what is sin or what is forbidden, but what are your sins?
Mm-hmm.
You know? And in general, musically, it is a little bit, I would say, a modernized country style,
mm-hmm.
but really mixed. There are some dance elements, more rock elements. There's the one track called Hurricane. And, you know, it reminded me of the mid-2000s funk rock.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe she was inspired, maybe by a completely different track, I don't know. But in general, you know, the whole section of, you know, Holy, Your Age, Imagine, Frankenstein especially, I love it for the gym too.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, the lyrics is a little heavy, but the production is really good.
Mm-hmm.
And I really like, you know, in any occasion, if I'm at home or working, it really, I feel inspired. And one important track, which the last I can talk about, is Send My Love to John. And John actually is a friend of hers. And it's a really interesting song, and it was a special moment seeing it live. It was a quite intimate moment. It talks about John, who ran away from his family because he was gay and wasn't accepted. And it's a sorry letter from mm-hmm. every parent who can't accept their child for what they are. And I thought it's pretty quite relatable. And
also very deep. Like, everything, it seems very deep.
It's really deep. Like, it's, you don't expect a pop record to, you know, peak in your deepest thoughts.
Yeah.
And it's quite heavy-handed, but at the end, you think, oh wow, that's cool. And it really helps to make you feel not alone.
Mm-hmm.
That are many people like that in that situation. I highly recommend. And I recommend her first album.
Cool.
Yes, her first album is actually called Sawayama, like her last name. And she has some influences, really inspired by Evanescence.
Ah.
She has some, cool. She tried her foot into metal, which is quite interesting.
Mm-hmm.
And then later on, she paired up with Elton John.
Cool.
And singing a song called Chosen Family, which is really nice. And I think a really good match into what she did with Hold the Girl.
Very cool.
Yeah, highly recommend. And yeah, that's my last record.
Nice. Okay, then I will go on to my last one. I can't really decide which one to pick out because I made a list beforehand of records that I like, and I'm a little torn on which one to pick out. I think I'm gonna go for a very unexpected one. I think I'm gonna go for Nuclear War by Montgomery, which is very interesting because I don't know much about this artist. I know she's a female artist,
mm-hmm.
and she released this EP years ago and hasn't released music ever since. And I really like this record. I think it's 5 songs, and she has a very sweet voice. She's a great vocalist, and the lyrics are about love, about also loss of someone you liked or loved, and always with kind of this synthy 80s vibe twist. And I really like that. Yeah, I think it's also interesting that she has decided to stay kind of mysterious because you can't find much about her, you can't read anything about her, and as I said, she hasn't released music in a really long time. And I think it's kind of interesting, maybe as an outro, because I have so many people on my list, like the Red Hot Chili Peppers, Kings of Leon that I mentioned before, or even Lady Gaga or Nirvana, people we all know and who like keep creating over and over again and who have become iconic for what they are doing. And I think you can also become iconic by just taking yourself and your own personality a little back and not being so overly into people's face. Like, you can also just let your music stand for itself. And I think it kind of still touches people. And it's not always tied to having the artist seen or something like that, even though that can add a different layer, like Ariana Grande layer or something. Yes. But
so she doesn't have to be video shooting this, that, like, not the whole package of what you expect from pop music, but her own thing, right?
Yeah, and she has her own sound. As I said, it's kind of like 80s synth sound, but with modern twists and like little futuristic also. And that gives me hope for my own plans because I want to release some music, but I don't necessarily have a huge budget, so I can't probably shoot like a music video for every track. Yeah, it's just kind of cool to know that good music will find its listeners and it will still inspire people.
Yes, I'm positive that even without being trendy on TikTok, you can still produce good music.
Yeah.
And it will reach people. I don't want to say it may be more difficult, but I think, you know, we all know this huge record labels and they're dominating everything music. And I think they're most part of the problem.
Mm-hmm.
Like, did you know that Spotify isn't allowed to produce own musicians because of the Big Five?
Crazy.
They're like, okay, you can play our music, but you will never be able to produce own musicians. And this is why Spotify is no more switching to podcasts, because they can produce those.
Mm-hmm.
And especially for Spotify, I think they never had black numbers in sense from income. They're always like hugely in minus and with the huge record labels. It's a career of being powerful. And I think we should focus more on the creation itself and the creators.
Definitely.
So that's why I like, you know, more independent artists. And yeah, and I think even for Rina's first EP, I think she recorded it completely with GarageBand. So I think you can do it.
Yeah, maybe I can do it. Yeah, pretty cool. I think we've reached the end of our episode, of our special episode where we talked about so many different things that are all linked together. Thank you so much for coming on.
Thank you for letting myself inviting to your podcast.
Of course.
And I'm excited for new episodes.